sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You listen to any idea that people possibly have, because people throw all different type of ideas at you. You're always open-minded. I've always said that you never have an untradeable player, no matter how good they are. If you had a Miguel Cabrera in his prime, you trade him for two Miguel Cabreras. I mean, they don't happen very often. But I think you're always open-minded. We know we're not going to sign all of our players in the long term. But our number one goal is to try to win a world championship this coming year. So, again, you listen to people throw ideas out, but we're not actively shopping players.
Dave Dombrowski at the winter meetings in Vegas. I think his key word there, we're not actively shopping anybody.
Love that.
We're just passively shopping a guy or two. That's the old, no. I didn't call anybody about making a trade. Yeah. I'm just open to taking calls.
They're just sitting next to the phone like.
Like.
Hello? No.
Like, tis the season, right?
I thought I heard something.
Like, tis the season. Hello? If I'm online and I'm like clicking ship and I'll buy this for someone, is that shopping or is that actively shopping? That's kind of shopping, right? It's not like I went to the mall.
Right.
It's not like I fought for a parking space. That's not what we're doing here, but yeah, I maybe went on Amazon.
I'm not actively shopping, but I'm window shopping.
Yeah.
It's passive shopping.
It's passive shopping is what's going on. So this comes on the heels of a report that the Red Sox are open to fielding offers on Rick Porcello, Xander Bogaerts, and Jackie Bradley Jr.
About time.
JBJ.
Jesus. Selling high, right? That's your objective. Sell high. Like, what better time than now?
The Porcello one, I totally understand.
You called it.
I've been saying this
for weeks. You've actually been saying this for months.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I have. Well, I would just say that one makes sense. You sign Nathan Eovaldi. You're choosing Eovaldi over Porcello. You don't have any long-term future plans with Porcello. So with that being the case, you move on. You replace him with Eovaldi. That's a roll of the dice. Because of the reliability that Porcello brings. I get that one. I understand that one. Xander Bogaerts, how do you win that?
What do you mean, how do you win that?
How do you win a trade that makes you better in 2019 with Xander Bogaerts being involved?
I don't know. I'm not saying you get a free pass, but you just won the World Series. All the moves he's made and some of these ones that we laughed at midsummer have worked out for him. We talked about this with Bogaerts at some point. You're going to have to decide, is he going to be in the long-term plans for you? Because that guy's going to get paid. And you got to make tough decisions like this. Would you rather have guys like Betts and Benintendi for the future as opposed to Xander Bogaerts,
who probably
is one of the most talented guys?
You don't have to make that call right now.
Well, right.
I understand.
Well, why not be ahead of it? Listen, why wait till it's too late?
I understand the thought of, well, if he's going to walk and you're going to let him leave, then get something for him.
Yeah.
I understand that in most circumstances, in this one,
it's like the Brandon Cooks thing, you know, like why not keep for the year?
And this situation, why, given the window, sort of short, right?
It is short, but you just won too.
If 2019 is all about, you know, re-upping and going at it again.
Window opens up a little bit more when you win, though.
Why are you so concerned about what you get in return for Xander Bogaerts? Who's playing shortstop for you in 2019, and how does it make you a better team?
Yeah, Brock Holt. He can play everything.
That doesn't make you a better team.
I don't know. We won with him. He was pretty clutch. Kid had some big hits, big spots.
Take away the 2019 part of it, though. It kind of makes sense to look to trade him, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is like the Brandon Cooks thing to me. You know, like you could have kept Cooks this year. Well, it'll help Brady out, but he's walking at the end.
It only makes sense.
Why not get something for him?
If you've got some sort of great long-term outlook.
I look at a guy like Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah.
Who's getting paid $37 million to walk away from the Blue Jays and can't play anymore because he's so hurt as a bigger shortstop. And that's what I see Xander Bogaerts in the future.
Oh, listen, this isn't about whether or not you want to sign him. It's about whether or not you want him on your team in 2019. And my only question is, he's only got one more year left on his deal and then he hits free agency. So how much is he really worth in the market? How much is he truly worth right now to get Xander Bogaerts for one season? I guess you could get a team that really wants to, you know, keep him and is willing to pay the kind of crazy huge money for some of these shortstops over the years. That
didn't Adrian Gonzalez get a big haul with 1 year left in his deal? You let a team talk to him that wants to sign him and let him team an extension?
But it involves a player who's willing to talk about an extension. Xander Bogaerts is a Scott Boras client. Is he going to be willing to talk about an extension? I don't know. Some guys are, some guys aren't. But if he's not willing to talk about an extension, I don't think you're going to get maximum value for him. This one I don't really fully get. I understand the desire to want to get something before you lose him for nothing, right? That's the idea behind it. I don't really know how it's going to make them better. Jackie Bradley Jr., sell high.
Bye-bye.
Sell high. And apparently the Arizona Diamondbacks want him.
Take him.
They want him, and they are having dreams of JBJ patrolling center field for the Arizona Diamondbacks next year.
He went out and worked with a hitting coach, too. He worked with
great.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez is hitting coach, one of those guys.
Terrific.
He keep working on that swing.
It'll work out great for the D-backs.
Yeah.
It'll work out great for them.
Drive them to the airport.
I wish them the very best. The very best if they can make that trade happen, which apparently they're going to be able to, but we'll see. Dave Dombrowski, though, was there a flat-out denial in there?
No.
Was there a denial
that he wasn't shopping,
talking, or not actively shopping these guys? But was there a denial?
Right? That's an advert.
Was there a denial from him that he was not going to talk trade on those players? Did he say that? If he did, I must have missed it.
No. It's just like, you know, you go to elementary school and you start working on adverbs. Like, okay, I am going shopping. How are you going shopping? I am not actively shopping. Add a little word in there. Get you out of a jam. Just in case somebody can't hold you to the fire.
Create some plausible deniability there is what it does.
You're stirring some stuff up at the winter meetings without stirring it up. Hey, we're here. Yeah, we're not actively shopping them, but here's my room number. If anybody wants to get in contact with me, you know, yeah. Why not?
Not actively shopping.
It's a nice hat you have.
Yeah, where's yours?
I am not a conformist. I don't, you know, if I'm a group, you're not going to make me do something I don't want to do.
There you go.
I forgot it. It's my idea.
He doesn't want to go along with his own idea. He's not going to conform to his own idea.
Because stupid idea. People look with hats.
It's your stupid idea.
All middle-aged men with hats on. Grow up. Look at you. You're trying to grow a beard.
No, he's
going,
hats.
Hardy's going through something. Some midlife thing.
He
bought a house. He's growing a beard.
It's so much cheaper than a Corvette. Just grow a beard.
I'd rather have the vet. I had two of those things. Those things are nice.
Hardy goes full color coordinated with his hats, though.
Yeah, it's
this
true.
This is no accident. You know, don't make any mistake about this. This is
Boston, huh? Yeah.
Very, very calculated.
After the big Bruins win last night, that's what you're doing?
Hell, the second period. Rest of the game, not so much, but that second period, that was fun.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's nice. Tom, I finally see Tom in a hat.
Tom's got a Bruins hat on.
Yeah.
Tom's got the hat on a 9-year-old wears. That's a kid hat. Like the little tiny logo.
It looks like the one I bought for Calvin.
Look how big your logo is. Look how big your logo is. Jim and Tom have my kids' hats on.
The logo's the same size, though.
No.
The B inside the logo is part of the logo.
Is his head just that massive? No, I've seen Bruins hats with massive logo. I'm sorry.
You think he's got a small logo?
You and I have been through that pro shop. That's
never
an awesome pro shop at the Garden.
Small logo.
Pro shop at the Garden, awesome. And they have those massive logo hats. I love them. Great hats down there at the Garden Pro Shop. That's a little boy hat. Mm. Plus, it's got like a different colored bill. Like a gold bill. You have a different colored bill. But that looks good.
Yeah. Why don't you go around and do the whole room?
Mm.
What do you got on Jim? What do you got on Jim?
I don't know. Jim's like got his old trucker hats on, man. Hey, let's go with the wash look.
This is the only hat I own now.
You own one hat?
Everybody stole your hats?
Yeah,
so you're
one
going,
hat.
You're
I have two hats. I have the hat for my kids' Little League team that I coached. So I have two hats.
So you go to a Red Sox game, you don't have a Red Sox hat that you wear.
No, ever since I shaved all the way bald, I stopped wearing hats.
You throw them away?
She said.
You just got rid of them?
The old ones? Yeah.
Taking up so much room.
You're living like a minimalist lifestyle that we don't know about?
I used to...
You know what Jim's doing? Jim's trying to push the Rodan Field stuff.
When I used to wear hats... I used to sweat a lot because I used to eat so crappy. I would sweat and you get the white stains. You ever get the white stains on the hats?
Wearing hats will make you eat poor.
The white salt stains? You've never had that?
What are you, sucking a salt stick? What are you, a deer? That salt lick block?
It would not
throw them away after a while.
It would not surprise me, based on what we know about Jim's wife, that they've gone full-blown Japanese in their house.
What's that?
Like, minimalist. Like, you walk in, shoes by the door. Hey, come sit down and have some.
Oh, no forks.
Next thing you know, you're kneeling at a table.
No forks.
You know, with nothing else in the room except a couple of tapestries. Very minimalist.
Start that party with some sake, though.
I could see that happening.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We've been thinking about it, and I think we're going to maximize Mookie in a different spot. We're going to flip-flop them. We're going to go Benny leading off, and Mookie's going to hit second. Talk to him. It just makes sense. I think, obviously, you guys saw what happened towards the end of the season. He became very passive again, and what I wanted from him in the leadoff spot, we accomplished, and now it's a different season, and we have to make adjustments, and that's where we're going to go.
So this is the clip and the quote you've maybe seen by now. That's Alex Cora. Yesterday, Vegas, winter meetings happening. He's already making changes to the lineup on December 11th. Announced, I love it. Making changes.
Good for him.
Alex Cora will have Mookie Betts batting second. He will have Andrew Benintendi leading off for the 2019 Red Sox, saying it's a new season. We got to turn the page. That's what he said. And then, if you saw that headline or saw the tweet, the quote, you may have thought, oh, whatever happened to Pedroia? Whatever happened to you talking about Pedroia like 3 weeks ago, and longer than that, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, about Pedroia in 2019? And maybe you didn't catch this part. I know I didn't yesterday when it happened. Here it is.
Petey, I mean, I'm not going to bet against him. We've been in touch, and I think he starts running, I don't know when. Dave mentioned it the other day, so that's – that's the big test, you know, when he starts working out and running. But I'm not going to bet against him. You know, I'm looking forward for him to lead off that game. I mean, that's the only time I told you guys, like, if Petey's going to play, if he's ready for opening day, he'll lead off that day. Oh. He deserves that.
Oh, my.
Oh.
But, I mean, go back to the big first part of that. Yeah, you feel good when you do nothing. Like, when something hurts and you just stop doing it, you just sit around. Eventually, you start feeling better. Like, he's going to start working out and running. So he hasn't done nothing.
No, he hasn't
done anything.
He hasn't done damn thing.
He hasn't done anything.
Nope.
Wow.
He's not doing
anything. How long has he not done anything?
I'm guessing since May.
Months, right?
When he came up for the three games? That the last time?
But if he...
Yeah, when they released Hanley?
But if they...
Because Pedroia was on the roster?
That's right. Anybody pick Hanley up?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, nobody picked him up.
Interesting.
He's not coming back. He doesn't say that if Pedroia's coming back. And then that's right, Pedroia.
A gratuitous throw-in. You know what? He deserves a start. If he can make it back, we'll give him the opening day.
May 29th.
He'll be a leadoff guy.
May 29th. So you're going on almost, you're going on 6.5 months.
Jesus.
Since he's done anything.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know that for absolute sure, but I'm guessing he hasn't done anything. He's been resting since that point, right?
Yep.
I picture Pedroia resting like Zoe resting. Just can't stand it. Sitting around doing nothing.
I know. I don't know how he does that. I couldn't do it.
Twitching all over the place.
Hey, are we on Twitch? No.
No.
We're on TV.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
That just tells you what we already know. Mm. He's not coming back. He's done. Yep. And Cora's out there telling you, well, Benintendi's going to lead off and Mookie's going to bat second next year. No, what about
as an organization with a lot of years left?
Yeah, if he's healthy, yeah, he'll lead off.
You can't say it yet. It's an organization. You can't eat it yet.
Thinking to himself, he's not going to be healthy. I don't have to worry about that.
If there's 1 year left on his deal, do they just say, you know what, that's it for him? You just can't do it.
They're going to give him every opportunity to try and make it back is what they're going to try and do. Every opportunity because, you know, the manager is his friend. The team is, you know, very fond of him, and that's what they're going to do. And it will ultimately end with him not being able to make it back. Jerry's in the car. Jerry.
Hi. I have a very radical idea about what to do with Bogaerts. Basically, the Yankees are looking to rent a shortstop for half a season until Gregorius gets back from his Tommy John surgery. So, but they have good prospects that they could potentially give up for Bogaerts. I mean, and they are talking about Machado. So this would probably shortcut their discussions with Machado, which you certainly don't want going there.
Yeah, there's no shot of that happening, Jerry. And I understand, as you said, it's a radical idea. There's just 0% chance of that happening. None. So it's not even worth our time. Here's the news on Chris Sale, by the way. Evan Drellick, who's out there covering the meetings, said that an MRI on Sale's shoulder revealed no structural damage. He also reports that Sale is open to an extension with the Red Sox, which means nothing, by the way. Of course, what's he going to say? I'm not open to an extension with the Red Sox? Meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless. The thing that's interesting, though, about Sale is that apparently, as we saw yesterday in some of the quotes, he's not exactly comfortable with everyone knowing exactly what it is that's going on and doesn't want the team talking openly about his shoulder issues and what's happened with him. That alarming to you?
No. I mean, if he's a private guy and he seems like he likes to internalize things, he's not a big media guy, and just based on his past history, he's kind of just a guy who likes to get out there and do it, made himself available at the end. I mean, they went to him to close the damn thing out. I don't know. I just think he's tired of people talking about it.
Drellick did say that a regular offseason is expected to mean 100% health for Sale, even though Sale, again, has asked that the Red Sox not discuss his health openly and publicly. So they're not going to do that. They're going to respect that. If you're the Red Sox, would you even entertain signing Chris Sale right now?
Yeah.
For what? Why? You have no idea where he's at.
I don't know. I just think
off limits.
I would entertain it, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Would you seriously consider if you got
a deal? I'd actively.
Would you sign him to a deal?
I'd actively entertain it.
No, you wouldn't do it.
even if he says I'll sign for $20 million a year, I'm going to say nope. No, that shoulder must be really bad if he's willing to do that.
Right. No matter how it shakes out, if it's lower than what you expected, you're going to assume that he knows he's hurt. If it's the same full value that he would get on the market a year from now, you're not going to pay that either. You'll just wait the year and then pay it then after you know what he is coming back. There's no way I would sign him to a deal right now.
It's not going up. The price isn't going to go up after this year. If he pitches well, it's still going to be $30 million a year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If he pitches well, you're at the same spot.
You're not going up to like $50 a year because you wait.
No, it's not like he's... What he has to do is get back and prove that he's healthy to be able to make the money that he probably would have gotten anyway. That's what he needs to do. That's what needs to happen. So no, it's not like... Again, you could just pay him next offseason. 617-779-0985. Three things we got going on. Alex Cora announcing it is Benintendi at the top of the order from now on. Betts will bat second. Chris Sale is apparently healthy and has a clean MRI, but doesn't want anybody talking about it and is open to talking about an extension with the Red Sox, which I would say no way. And then there's this trade discussion. The Red Sox open to trading Porcello, Bogarts, and JBJ, according to one report. Let's go to Victorio in Franklin. Victorio.
Hello.
Hey.
Is this Scott?
Hey, Victorio.
Hi. I haven't talked to you in a while. Do you still go to the Rome restaurant?
You know what? I drove by it the other day. We bought some new lanterns for our house, and one of the lanterns wasn't working. It had a wiring issue inside. And I took it back to Franklin Lighting, and I drove by the Rome yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got an interesting stat on DraftKings on football Monday night with the Rams and the Bears.
Yeah.
Do you know that it was 96 first-place winners? 96 first-place winners.
Is that a lot?
At $5,500 apiece.
Jesus.
For a $10 bet, you can win $250,000. But because it was a defensive game, there were so many winners. I couldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
But I have an interesting idea for the officials.
No. Yep.
The only way you can get consistency in this football professional game, they're penalizing the football players for throwing the ball in the stands and taunting. And
yeah, like Brandon Bolden did right in your face. Yeah.
Well, I think
he almost threw the NFL should, by the way,
penalize the officials if they keep missing these calls. You got like seven officials, and how can you miss a hit to the head? All of them.
That's a fast game, Victorio.
A face mask. Well, I mean, what about a penalizing, like, fine, $100, not for one, to all of them?
Here's what I got a problem with is spotting of the balls. Like, these crews have a tough time even spotting balls. Spot, like, floats. This happened 2 weeks ago, and it happened again in another game. Same crew that we had for the Vikings. It was just or the Jets game. It was weird. They do grade the refs. They do hold them accountable. There's a grading system, and the ones that grade out well get rewarded playoff games and Super Bowls.
Quickly, before we get to headlines with Hardy,
that's a good call.
Speaking of odds, last night was the 30 for 30, 42-1, which was on Buster Douglas defeating Mike Tyson.
Oh, I got two things on this.
What do you got? Go.
Boy, do you miss the old school boxing? Like, you miss... Don't ever try and sell me a Mayweather or Pacquiao or any of this crap. You know, it'll take... I'm going to run around the ring and I'll push you and you push me. These guys stood in there and freaking swung. It's like, you watch the highlight clips. It was like Rocky and Drago. Like, it was literally Clubber Lang like type stuff. That was like when... That was boxing's heyday. Holyfield, Tyson, Douglas. I sat there for an hour and I thought I was going to be wild by this because the 30 for 30 is so good.
I would say,
so
by
good.
The way, just to stop you there, modern heyday.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't even say that.
No,
go
back to Duran and Hagler.
Okay.
Those were great.
Hagler, Roberto Duran, Spence. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Thomas Hearns.
Motor City Cobra, Thomas the Hitman Hearns, right?
Awesome.
To me, that's like the heyday.
Yeah.
Watching Mike Tyson footage now is awesome, but I also remember being a kid and having like my dad and his friends there to watch the fight. And like, okay, and it's like, you know, all geared up. And 90 seconds later, it's over, and everyone's like, that's it?
Yeah.
You know, it's so much better to sit and watch a retrospective of knockout after knockout than it was actually in the moment, waiting weeks, months for a fight. Tyson gets in the ing and just...
How fast did he break Peter McNeely's neck?
So fast, strong, terrifying.
Yeah.
But in the moment, you're like, that's it? That's all we get,
yeah.
And that's all you got.
Yeah.
So I would say in retrospect, it's much better to watch it now. But the overall, the 30 for 30, I was kind of disappointed.
I was too. All they did was follow like Buster Douglas around, and it's like a family history.
Well, I learned stuff about Buster Douglas that I didn't know before, but I would like to have known. Wait a second.
The build-up to the fight. There was no build-up.
What happened after the fight? When Tyson wanted the rematch, didn't Tyson want a rematch? And you said, no, you're going to go fight Holyfield, and you essentially got knocked out after three rounds, and your career was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it was about that fight, but I could have used 5 minutes on what happened to Buster Douglas after that fight.
Yes. I was disappointed.
And there was other stuff in it that just made...
I thought the whole thing seemed rather low budget. It was... Nothing but.
But they took clips. Him to Tokyo, so that's not
Sports
cheap.
Sports Center highlights.
Oh, you liked when he walked
in
the Tokyo
an interview.
Dome?
Oh, sitting
in
to Tokyo, and you saw him in a van, which could have been driving down the streets of Columbus, Ohio.
Could have been Dorchester.
Tokyo, and we wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
And
but
he was in a van, and then he walked down a hallway in the Tokyo Dome.
It's like, you know
God,
what it, spent you know
all
what
that
it
money
felt like to me
to Tokyo for what?
That they were piggybacking on something else that was being shot or produced. And they just got a little bit of footage with it. And Jeremy Schapp said, hey, can we come along and get a couple of questions?
So he was there for another reason.
That's kind of what it felt like.
I know why the 30 for 30s are so good.
Why?
Because they're not ESPN people doing them. They're other people.
And this was ESPN.
This felt
people.
Like an ESPN people.
Yeah, it was ESPN. I mean, it was very heavy on the ESPN.
Oh, that's right.
If it was that good, they would have put it on after the Heisman like they do every year with their best 30 for 30. And they didn't do that this year.
They
showed boxing after that.
You know what?
It wasn't that good.
You're right, because it's who's the guy that did the, he did the 30 for 30, the two bills. He works for NFL Films. What the hell's his name?
I don't know.
Shoot.
I don't know.
Damn it. All right, I'll come up with it.
Okay, you come up with that.
Talking about the Pat Sox Elks Bruin Revolution 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Obviously, minimizing Brady and his arsenal of weapons is central to the discussion. Gronk has missed some time this year, but he's finding his rhythm. He's been playing here for the last several weeks, had a big game this past week. You know, the matchup issue that he is for everyone globally, and he is and has been for us in the past. We'll be thoughtful about putting together a plan to minimize him and his impact on the game.
All right, so what's going on down there in Pittsburgh ahead of Sunday's game, Patriots-Steelers? What's the deal?
I saw Tim Benz used to work in this market. across the street. He's down in Pittsburgh, went back to Pittsburgh. He's working there. He writes, I think, for Tribune Review.
Where did you see him?
I saw it on Twitter yesterday. He goes, it's amazing. Here we are, and we're still talking about the Raider loss, and not one person is mentioning that the Patriots are coming to town. They're so dwelling on Sunday's loss as to why they screwed up, who screwed up. Was it the field? Was it an X-ray machine? Where was Ben? What was the flow of the game? Tomlin keeps referring to the flow of the game where you go through the sequence there, punt, turnover, three and out, whatever it was.
Okay.
Not a good flow, but Ben got shot up and nobody's talking about it.
How's that any different than what's going on right here, right now?
Well, it's the wording of it, too, and Tomlin. Yeah, we will be pursuing back to a winning act actively. Just his wording of everything is just hysterical.
The press conference yesterday, Mike Tomlin's press conference, was 26 minutes long.
Wow.
He spent the first 12 minutes monologuing, and what's different about it is it was all about the Raiders game. Now,
okay.
If Bill Belichick were to stand up there and do 12 minutes, it would almost certainly not be about the previous game.
Right.
Now, it might be about Army-Navy. It might be about the history
of left-footed punter.
Yeah, it might be about the history of the defense in the NFC in the 70s. It might be about something. But most likely, if you're going to talk about that amount of time, it's going to be about the next game coming up or something unrelated to what happened in the previous game. But I guess this is what most of it was about.
So it's really a criticism of the coach more than anything.
Yes.
That clip that we just heard coming back talking about Brady and Gronk, that was just about the gist of the Patriots stuff out of 26 minutes.
Okay. So we have other cuts.
Okay.
And we can listen to here, starting with, they're still having problems with their kicker.
Boswell.
They got a kicker problem. Slipped on his plant foot. Here he is talking about kicker tryouts.
His performance merits us turning stones over and looking at our options.
I'm sorry. It
merits us.
We went outside to the river, the Ohio River.
The easy decision for us to do is to assign blame or to shoot a hostage or to do things of that nature.
I'm sorry, stop.
We will not shoot anybody in the head.
We get criticized.
We are stuck in a
closet. We will not shoot the hostages.
We get criticized for stopping audio too much and too early, but come on.
We have not captured the opponent as of yet.
I'm going to assign blame, shoot a hostage, not going to do anything crazy.
He just used a metaphor about shooting
a hostage. Real quick here, too.
We're talking about
why are we reverting to
that? That would be a panic move.
But did you notice that both teams have referred to death? Belichick said it's not like anybody died. We lost a football game. Now we're not shooting hostages down in Pittsburgh.
We will not
or
be
able to shoot a hostage
what?
Or to do things of that nature regarding Boz. That's not our intention.
So now Boz is a hostage?
I don't know.
Where is Boswell? Does he travel with the team or do they keep him in a cage?
I don't know.
What's right for our football team? What's right for our football team is to ensure that we give ourselves the very best chance of winning.
Sure.
And that ball going through the upright this weekend.
I just want to listen to this
Boswell in or out.
3 second clip one more time. Hold on.
But the easy decision for us to do is to assign blame or to shoot a hostage or to.
Can you let it play a little bit longer, Hardy?
Okay. Is it easy to decide to shoot the hostage?
Okay. Let him breathe.
All right, hold on.
But the easy decision for us to do is to assign blame or to shoot a hostage or to do things of that nature regarding Boz.
That's not
our intention. We want to do what's right for our football team.
Hold on.
What's right for our football team is to ensure that we give ourselves the very best chance of winning and that ball going through the upright this weekend.
There's probably like six things you'd want to do with the hostages, right? You could either waterboard them, you could shoot them, you could cover them with meat tenderizer and stick them in a room with a grizzly bear. You could.
So that's what else of that nature is?
What is of that nature?
I don't know.
Do they talk about these things?
I
we will be going through surface warfare using tactics instituted during the World War II that we won.
I have no idea what he said.
I love Pittsburgh Week. I really do.
Okay, so as we know, Ben Roethlisberger was injured at some point.
He has a cracked rib, and they shot him up.
Went into the locker room, stayed on the sideline, just watching until
the numbing agent.
There was turnover and three and outs and a punt, so finally went back in the game. So he's injured. What's Tomlin going to give us on Big Ben's injury here?
The health and safety of some of these guys as we push into this week, Ben, obviously, we got him evaluated when we got back. He has a rib or several rib contusions.
I can't get enough. I almost like we got
several rib contusions.
We can't. We got to run him live whenever he speaks. Just
can you give me the numbers, Coach? Do you have the which ribs they are?
Oh, if he ever says that he's what did he say a couple years ago? I will remember when the Patriots did something. He said, "I will not be transparent." Right, oh the transparency. God. He got stuck on transparency a couple years ago.
Has contusions of rib 6, 7, and 8, maybe his, possibly a piece of 9. Yeah.
The vertebraical area 4
is left side. Now, when I say left, I want you all to understand exactly where it is. Stand up for me down here in the front row. Now, that's his left, not my left, as I'm looking at him.
Make an L with both thumbs and four fingers, and the ones when you hold it up in front of you, that L that you see, that will be the left side. The other will be the right.
So for a Patriot pass rusher coming off the right side, you're going to be able to get him in those contusion ribs over there on his left.
The contusional
area. This is the quarterback's left. Not the left as you're looking at him. Your right, his left. Everybody got it?
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I've never heard any coach speak about any player like this in such detail.
It's one thing.
A baseball manager would not go into this much detail about a player's injury.
It's one thing if it's a player who's not going to play, is maybe done for the year, is headed to IR, and you want to talk in detail about the injury. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be out there this Sunday. He's going to be playing, which means that Trey Flowers can line him up and put his helmet right into that rib cage where he now knows that Ben Roethlisberger is injured.
Rib or several rib contusions that'll be addressed throughout the week. We anticipate him being available to us. Pain management through the week will probably be the storyline in terms of what he's able to do from a physical preparation standpoint. But again, Ben has played a lot of football, and we've been in this situation with him a lot. So we'll walk that tightrope and go into the stadium with no excuses there.
What's the name of that family? The Flying Willendas, right?
Sure.
Willendas. The grandfather died, right?
Yeah.
But splattered in Mexico?
That would be...
Mexico City,
Mexico City or
Hawaii.
Yeah,
he splattered somewhere.
Puerto Rico, I think.
One of them, yeah. And then the new Willenda, didn't he just do the Grand Canyon or something? Like last year?
I don't know. You'll have to look that up.
Yeah, it was a little while back.
Yeah.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're from Zetan with the Super Bowl team. Three-time winner Steelers. We proved to the world that we have the best team.
Congratulations, Steelers!
Yeah, Polskies!
Bunch of hunkies and Poles, man. They got the food cranking. It smells like cabbage when you pull in the parking lots. It's good people. They start tailgating about 8 in the morning.
Now bring it.
Mmm.
Try pierogies.
Yep, pierogies. You'll see the kibasis, the big ones, 12 inches right there on the grill. Nice hard roll. Oh. Mustard on it. Mustard and onions. An Iron City beer. Nothing else. Iron City. You don't drink Bud Light. Nothing. Iron City. Yeah, but Callahan get all pissed off on.
He didn't say Coors Light.
Now you drink Iron City. Pittsburgh. That's what you drink. They take it right out of the river. Take the river water and it says, tastes different. It's good.
Tastes different. Oh, that means we have more Mike Tomlin. Incoming.
Excellent.
Incoming.
You ready?
Yep. Yeah.
So, Mike Tomlin, we already heard him talking about what they're going to do with the kicker situation. We heard him talk about Big Ben's injury. He's got several rib contusions. Well, let's just talk about him going back into the game. Here's Mike Tomlin on Ben Roethlisberger returning to the game on Sunday in the eventual loss to the Oakland Raiders.
There were several conversations throughout the course of the third quarter or whatever when he came back to the sideline after getting done what he needed to get done, and communication was a part of the ultimate decision.
That's good that the player that's injured is going to communicate with either the medical staff and then they will speak to me, the head coach, and the communication, the back and forth of two people having a conversation will ultimately determine where we will head the rest of this football game.
to put him back into the game, or whether or not we were even going to consider putting him back into the game. And really, guys, I've tried to be as transparent as I can be. I'm not going to.
Oh, we know.
Oh, he was transparent. He did it again. He did it again. I will not be transparent like those a-holes.
Get into any more of the minutia. I know you guys got a job to do. I wanted to be as completely transparent as I could. I was not interested in discussing it after the game because I'm not a comfort seeker. I don't want to blame others. I don't care about the equipment, the speed in which the thing transpired, whether or not we were able to read it.
Was
this in response to a question, or is this all still part of the rambling?
It's the x-ray. It's the whole thing with the x-ray. He went on and on about this x-ray machine. And if you ever play in Oakland, and we did, it is a pit. It is the worst stadium in the league other than San Diego, which no longer exists. So I think he's saying that they didn't
San Diego still exists.
Do they?
Still a town. Yeah.
No, the stadium.
That's still there, too. That
thing. It is?
Yeah, I don't think they've torn it down.
Oh, that thing's a pit. Oh. Mm-hmm. So he's saying that the x-ray machine's probably from like the mid-80s.
That's what this is in reference to, the equipment?
So does x-ray picture transpire? Is that what he's saying?
I'm not a comfort seeker. I don't want to blame others. I don't care about the equipment, the speed in which the thing transpired, whether or not we were able to read it. You know, that was the same equipment for both teams, et cetera, et cetera. So I said very little after the game.
Et cetera.
God, for it. Number one, I think
he's talking about the x-ray machine.
He likes the sound of his own voice. He likes to talk.
He's giving you a ton of information.
But he's really not saying much. And what he does say a lot about are things that he shouldn't be saying.
If I was going to use an excuse, I would blame it on that machine.
I played with his brother at Maryland.
Yeah, which you never told us.
Ed Tomlin. Yeah, flat top like kid and play. He was a good kid.
What position?
Defensive back.
Is he good?
It was all right. Yeah, full ride. Pretty good.
All right. So here's...
He ain't there with a cup of pencils asking to play. It was a walk-on. Yeah.
Here's Tomlin talking about more about the x-ray in Oakland.
Ben said today on his show that the plan was to put him in regardless of whether or not Oakland had scored on their second-to-last drive. That was the case?
He and I had a conversation. It got to the point where we said regardless of what transpired, he was going in on the next series, and he did.
Mike, is there any sort of league standard for the quality of the x-ray equipment that you're aware of?
I'm not getting into that. That's why I didn't get into it after the game.
Formal complaint filed on behalf of the state?
There will be none.
That was the same x-ray machine that the Raiders would have used if somebody was hurt?
And again, I'm not getting into that.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
Is he not understanding that? He brings up the x-ray machine.
No, the Raiders have a modern x-ray machine by their locker room. I'm sure it's the same x-ray machine. Yeah, there's one. There's a universal x-ray machine in each stadium. You're required to have that on the spot.
The x-ray machine in the visitor locker room is really just a bare light bulb that you have to stand in front of and try and determine when the body stands in front of it, when you can see anything from behind.
That's right. They put that sheet up, right? You put the sheet and go in front. Like, you stand there like, wow, I can see through his body.
Exactly. The live x-ray, in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah, with the curtain.
Oh, he is a gem.
He's a piece of work, man.
Really is.
Still picking the Steelers, though?
I'm middle right now. I'm middle. It's only Wednesday.
Where's the game? Is that my only question?
It's in Pittsburgh.
Okay, yep.
I'm favoring Pittsburgh right now.
Like them.
Yeah, I like the Steelers.
Till proven otherwise, at least against the spread. What's the spread going to be on this game? What is it?
It's out.
It opened Steelers -1.5. I'm not sure what it is now.
Ooh, you're an underdog. Wow, when's the last time you were an underdog?
Now I don't know.
Whew. Disrespect. You got the disrespect card now.
-1.5. Pats road dogs.
Road dogs. Denver. Probably last time it happened was at Denver. Road doggy. Diggity dog.
Got a lot of thinking to do on this one.
What about Jacksonville early in the year? Are we favored down there? I think we're favored by three.
Looks like it's -1.5 Pats now.
Oh.
Money. Road favorites.
Road favorites. Dog. No disrespect.
Well, we got some thinking to do
right.
On that. All right. That's it for Tomlin, though.
Wow, that is quite a bit of information that he didn't have to offer up, but he did.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.